O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our dear Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text of God's word for our special meditation on this Thanksgiving Day is recorded in the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 9, reading in verse 15 the following words. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. This is our text. In the name of Jesus Christ, our bounteous Lord and merciful Savior, beloved hearers of his wonderful word. In spite of pockets of depression and poverty here and there throughout our country, for example, in the backwoods of Appalachia, in rural areas of the Deep South, and in the blighted slums of our big cities especially. And aside from the ravages of chronic unemployment and the rising rate of homelessness that have struck down many of our countrymen, depriving them of even the most basic necessities of life, this land of ours is still one of the most prosperous and affluent, if not the richest country in the whole world. Americans, according to world statistics, own more homes, more automobiles, more boats, more cell phones and computers per capita than any other people. Almost every home has a television set, or perhaps two or three, and most have other sophisticated electronic devices as well. Modern conveniences, we call them, although we rely upon them day by day in our life here in this world. And yet, many Eastern Europeans, Asians, Africans, South Americans, and others would consider such things luxuries still today. Brethren, we have microwave ovens. We have automatic dishwashers. We don't have to wash them by hand. We have compact disc and DVD players, PlayStations, laptops, smart phones, iPods and iPads. Americans, on average, are better nourished, better clothed, better housed, and yes, better teched than anyone else on the face of the whole earth. And they have more disposable income for purely recreational pursuits than do the citizens of any other industrialized nation on the face of the whole earth. Now consider indeed what you and I have and use on a daily basis compared to our impoverished brethren in Nigeria and Russia, who cry out to us for help, who are quite literally, in the words of the Apostle James in the second chapter of his epistle, who are literally destitute of daily food, and who are dying every day of common illnesses like diabetes, hypertension, and malaria, treatable with common medications which you and I can pick up at the corner drugstore, but they cannot afford to buy. One would think, therefore, that the people of this prosperous country of ours would also be aware of their many blessings and be grateful to God for the bounty he has bestowed upon them. But sad to say, that is generally not the case. For most people not only take their daily bread and all of their temporal blessings for granted, most actually expect to have their many comforts, amenities, and luxuries as a sort of birthright in their pursuit of happiness as Americans. And if they can't get them for themselves, they expect other people to provide them for them. And as to the thankfulness of our country, it is a sad commentary that a day such as this, a Thanksgiving Day, had to be mandated by presidential proclamation to remind our citizens to give thanks to God for all of their blessings, to give them even a day off from work and from school for the specific purpose of urging them into their respective houses of worship for services of thanksgiving. And yet, as we well know and can well see, in spite of that generous opportunity, it is turkeys that are being stuffed today and not churches. This is not really Thanksgiving Day anymore. It's Turkey Day, as we hear it commonly referred to on the radio and on television and throughout the social media every single day this week. Even we Christians, in spite of our presence here today in the house of God, have nothing to boast of concerning our exemplary gratitude to the Lord for all of his blessings to us day by day. You see, our old sinful flesh is just as ungrateful as that of the worldlings round about us. So that we need to be reminded again and over again by God himself in his holy word how much we owe him for his grace and mercy to us poor and undeserving wretched sinners. For all of his benefits, both temporal and above all spiritual, which he showers down upon us in such great abundance. And therefore, the Apostle Paul in our text brings us that very reminder as he exclaims in our text, "Thanks be unto God." Thanks not only for his temporal blessings, which we can easily list if we only take a moment to think about them, and which we can easily talk about if we just take the time, but particularly for his unspeakable gift, the gift of his only begotten Son to be our Savior, and for all of the spiritual blessings which we have in and through him by faith. Because of the old man or sinful flesh within us, the willing ally of the devil, who seeks night and day to undermine and to destroy our new man of faith, we by nature, as I just mentioned, are just as ungrateful and inappreciative as are the children of this world. Thus, we too often take even our temporal or earthly blessings for granted, credit ourselves and our hard work for our successes, and smugly pat ourselves on the back for bonuses earned, for deals consummated, for promotions gained, and money made. And if you think that that's an overstatement, just ask yourself, when was the last time you got an increase in your pay and went into the boss and told him, "I really don't deserve this"? To God alone the glory. He it is who made this possible. When we get a letter of commendation placed into our personnel file, when we are evaluated on our job, and it's a positive, glowing letter, do we go into our superior and say, "I really don't deserve this"? To God alone the glory. It is He who made this possible, and not I myself. And yet, isn't that the self-reliant and self-sufficient, prideful attitude of the unbeliever? Who, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 8, verse 17, says in boastfulness of himself, "My power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth." Or, as people would say today, that is, after all, the American way, isn't it? To be a self-made man. That is indeed the attitude of the unbelievers, beloved hearers. And not one to be copied or emulated by any true Christian. It is the evidence and evil fruit of sinful pride, which, when it makes its ugly appearance in our lives, must be crushed within us by true contrition and sincere repentance, and thenceforth consciously suppressed in our lives, lest it gain the upper hand and we lose our faith altogether. Nay, rather, we Christians should humbly and gratefully acknowledge with Luther in the first article of our creed, "I believe that God has given me my clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house and home, wife and children, fields, cattle, and all my goods, that He richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life." Assuming, of course, that what we have is not ill-gotten gain, unlawfully acquired, contrary to God's will and contrary to the laws of our government, all that we have, as we sing in that wonderful little hymn of stewardship in our hymn book, all that we have is God's alone, which He has entrusted to us as to stewards or caretakers, purely out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in us. Our temporal blessings, therefore, are not what is coming to us. They are not what we have earned and deserved, and they are not ours by natural right. But they are God's gifts. Even the ordinary things of everyday life, topics of everyday conversation, even among the heathen. They are God's gift. Jesus says, your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Thanks be unto God, therefore, for these ordinary daily needs which he provides us, and for which we should be humbly and sincerely grateful. But my dear fellow Christians, those temporal blessings about which we worry so often, blessings for this present life about which we talk so often, we could call them God's speakable gifts, are of little importance and consequence compared to his unspeakable gift, upon which our everlasting happiness depends, upon which our immortal souls hang for survival, and to which we must cling in humble, childlike confidence if we are to have the sure and certain expectation or anticipation, not just of a cushy life here in this world, but of life everlasting in heaven. That is the gift in particular concerning which the apostle speaks in our text when he exclaims, thanks be unto God. That is the gift which, even if we lacked all the temporal blessings which we enumerated just before, that is the gift that should gladden our hearts beyond human expression and make us truly grateful, truly happy, and truly blessed Christians, not only on Thanksgiving Day, but every day of our lives here in this world. Now, just what is that unspeakable gift? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Yes, that gift is Jesus Christ to be our Savior from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. A gift that is so wonderful that it defies description in human terms. All of our temporal blessings can be described as to quantity, as to size, as to price, as to utility, and even as to durability. And the degree to which each of those things is important to us also determines to a great extent how much we appreciate them. But God's unspeakable gift, the gift of his only begotten Son to be the substitute for wretched, miserable, and unworthy sinners under the indictment and curse of God's holy law, to buy them back for heaven when they were headed for hell, and to rescue them from the bondage of sin and slavery to the devil, that gift is unspeakably great and glorious. That gift is unspeakably undeserved by its intended recipients. And that gift is unspeakably precious in its benefits to them. Earthly temporal gifts and blessings usually carry a price tag in terms of mere money, dollars and cents. while the Apostle Peter tells us that we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Truly, unspeakably valuable. Normally, we give gifts to our friends and loved ones, not to our enemies. But while we were enemies, the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, Christ died for the ungodly. Unspeakably generous, don't you think? In terms of earthly temporal debts, the right combination of credits, guarantees, and restructuring can actually buy a person financial freedom here in this world. But none of them, no human being, can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of their soul is precious, the Bible says. Unspeakably precious. Earthly gifts last just so long, and they begin to get old, fall apart, or just plain wear out. But the gift of life in Christ Jesus is everlasting, unspeakably durable. Every facet of this gift of God is unspeakable. It defies human understanding, and it defies human language. And that is why only God is capable of such a gift. Therefore, says Paul in our text, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. The real tragedy, of course, is that although this unspeakable gift was given to all mankind, sincerely intended for every sinner by God himself, and given to all the world in Christ Jesus, yet the vast majority of people, in callous opposition to his universal will of grace that all men be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth of this unspeakable gift, Christ Jesus their Savior, as we heard in the epistle lesson read before, the majority of the people will never have it for themselves. They simply refuse to acknowledge that this unspeakable gift is a gift of grace, unmerited by us, unmeritable by us, who are poor, miserable, wretched, hopeless, and helpless sinners. They refuse to accept it by faith because they think that everything that they receive here in this life is received and earned by works. They stubbornly and persistently refuse and reject and resist the efforts of God's Holy Spirit to work in them the saving faith by means of the gospel. And they thanklessly spurn and arrogantly reject God's unspeakable gift of everlasting life, because they're not interested in everlasting life hereafter. They want the good life right now. And thus they forfeit salvation in unbelief. What an unspeakable waste. For without the sure and certain hope of everlasting life, the temporal blessings that we have and the temporal blessings that also the unbelievers enjoy here in this life as daily bread, all of that is virtually meaningless. Their life is meaningless. Their future is hopeless. I was envious, wrote the psalmist Asaph, Psalm 73. I was envious when I saw the prosperity of the wicked, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. No wonder the children of this world miss the whole point of Thanksgiving. They're not truly grateful for any of God's gifts because they reject His greatest gift of all, His unspeakable gift of love to all the world. They won't come into His presence with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise because they despise God's grace. They reject their Savior, and they close their ears to His holy word, which convicts them of their helplessness and hopelessness before God, and declares to them the gospel of God's full and free forgiveness to all the world for Jesus' sake. They are ungrateful for the justification and for the reconciliation that our Savior Jesus Christ purchased and won for us and for all mankind by His perfect satisfaction of divine justice in our place. Who is the propitiation, the complete satisfaction for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world? From such callous ingratitude and unbelief, graciously preserve us, dear Heavenly Father, for Jesus' sake. Let us rather grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in His precious and priceless word, so that we learn ever better day by day what great things God has done for us and for our salvation, and show forth our gratitude in songs of praise and thanksgiving, as well as in works of love and thanks living to Him who spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, who with Him, that is in and through our blessed Savior, will also freely give us all things. Yea, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all human understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through abiding faith in Christ Jesus and gratitude for our salvation unto life everlasting. Amen.